And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Under fear, declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in the desert, beautiful sunrises, sunsets. It's awesome. And it's not, you know, that cold. In fact, it's been freaking hot. You know, it's like open the window at night. You know, well, that was a couple nights ago, but it's kind of cooled off again. But damn, 80-something degrees here in freaking beginning of February. You know, it sucks to be you wherever the hell else you are. Now, of course, it's not the sun anvil of the summer. But as you're traveling and you have a way to get around, you go, it's lay hot and I'm going to lay go over here. You know, and that was kind of the plan, is that we chasing 78 degree nighttime sleeping weather. You know, and that's why people RV and they're snowbirds and they come out in the desert and they do and they hang with their friends and so on. They're retired. And what they're really chasing is weather. Because what? Energy costs. That was one of the big things. You talk to people, it's just too expensive to heat or cool their place. It's energy. Energy. And we talked in the last hour a little bit about, you know, some of the, you know, new tech that's coming and that we've been experimenting with here. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, 25% of what it was a year ago. I'm like, woo, man, the man's going to start losing that battle. And, of course, Biden and friends will claim, yeah, see, we win because we, you know, had nothing to do with you. I don't care how you're heating. It's individual decisions of where they're spending their money. That's what's going to happen. Now, you know, kind of we're going to be talking about this kind of life and so on with Matt Smith, you know, because he's thinking, I'm going to go on the road, I think, and see what's up. We're going to talk about that. Matt's an experienced entrepreneur, investor, and advisor who has founded and led multiple successful businesses. Most recently, he was a founder and CEO of Royalty Exchange, the leading online platform for buying and selling royalty streams, where he still serves as chairman. This is like, you know, you played my song, give me my royalty. IP, maybe we'll talk about that. I don't care. Now he's on a sabbatical of sorts, spending his time homeschooling his son, Maxim, that has, you know, his own YouTube channel. And Donna just gets Maxim Smith. He was kind of teens for Trump and doing politics stuff and highlighting all the socialism going on when they went back to school and everything. Somebody needed to do it. I really appreciated them going, let me tell you what they're doing. Well, man, you know, now everybody knows. And thanks, Maxim, for that. But now he's kind of like, we'll talk about that a little bit. What's he doing now? And so while he's homeschooling him, having a big influence and that benefiting all of us, and regularly he's tapping the brain of his friend and mentor, Doug Casey. Now, Matt Smith has his own YouTube channel called Doug Casey's Take, where they discuss politics, economics, philosophy, and more. So those are always interesting, and we put those up on Freedom's Phoenix. I'm sure you see those. So, you know, it's just, you know, like minds, you know, kind of come together. And since we started doing on the road thing, a lot of guys like this had contacted, started doing it, taking their show on the road, and the weight of being on the grid, you know, I mean, get above the grid, you know, it's just lighter up here. So Matt's going to go down that road. Welcome to the show, Matt. It's good to talk to you, man. Go ahead and tell us what your plan is, what you're thinking about.
Thanks, Ernie. It's always good to talk to you. We just bought an RV ourselves just this week, and the idea is, at least at first, we're just going to try like a week at home and then a week on the road. And just to try and expand our possibilities, my guess is it turns into a lot more than that, quite frankly. But, you know, our motivation for it fundamentally is that while we have a very good life, we're very, very lucky. But we live in this weird little bubble where we're very isolated from a lot of things. And, you know, we want to do basic things like everyone wants to do. I mean, even the idea, as dumb as this might seem, of going to a comedy show, there aren't any in Colorado. We can't go to any. You know, there are, you know, I'm like, there's some shows in Texas I want to go to, and I'm like, we wouldn't go all the way there to see a comedy show. Well, I mean, if you're adapting your life a little bit, you know, and doing this more RV half the time or whatever, then all those things become possible. And then I started thinking about that idea a little bit more thoroughly, and I know there's lots of events that I've never been able to go to because I actually have spent most of my summers overseas, you know, rather than in the U.S. And like, you know, I know you go to Pork Fest every year and things like that. I'd never had a chance to go to. And so I started just looking at, you know, what might we do if we try and make the most of this total flexibility of travel? And, you know, how might, and can we do it in a way that makes it, helps us sort of get around all these silly rules that I think are going to get worse, not better, you know, in terms of the you know, relating to the COVID thing. So the RV thing seems like a cool thing. And well, we've done it a little bit. We've rented them before, but this is much more of a, you know.
Well, tell me about the RV. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I mean, is it that little bubble trailer behind your Honda Civic or what? What are we talking about?
It's nice. I mean, I would hope you would expect no less, Ernie. Come on.
I know. Nice. It's like, come on, pimp it out, man. Don't be shy. You know, is it, a fifth wheel behind a big giant freaking diesel, or you got a, you know, give me the details.
It's a Thor, and it's a year old. It has 4,000 miles on it, so I didn't buy a brand new one. It's 33 and a half feet, and it's got the big Freightliner Cummins engines in it. So you don't have to worry about the powertrain or the engine for a long, long time with these things. And you know, the rest of it, honestly, it's really as nice as it could get.
I think. You know, how many pop outs does it have?
Three.
Of course.
Three.
you're not suffering, man. I mean, come on.
Well, actually I sold some of my crypto to buy it. Actually, is what I did, because I was like thinking, you know, I've got crypto. I'm a big believer in crypto. I think crypto is going to continue to be the, you know, path for people. I think it's important for people to do it. But at the same time, you know, it's gone up a lot, and I was thinking I should sell some. And then I'm thinking, well, but then I'll have cash, and what do you do with cash? Like that's just like a hot potato. So I'm like, well, let's just buy something that, who knows, it could be useful. And so I ended up buying that.
Score. And you are not suffering with a Thor, okay? I've seen these at the campgrounds and so on, and they're like an 18-wheeler made into a, I mean, it was not the trailer, but I mean, it's a big freight, you know, diesel of, you know, sure. What color is it? It's kind of the, you know, the multi-brownish kind of thing.
Yeah, more blacks and grays, but yeah, it's like a tour bus for a rock band is what it's like.
No, it kicks the crap out of them. I haven't seen any rock band tour bus better than those. You know, so, no, one guy let me look at it. You know, I'm going, holy God. I mean, we have the Love Bus. It's kind of classic, an old MC. I mean, it's got its own cool factor, you know. It's kind of, you know, you're pulling up with a, you know, Mustang or something like that. You know, it's all pimped out. But no, it's not one of these. And this is when you do the pop-outs and they two of them, one's for the bedroom, and two of them face each other kind of living room, right?
Yep.
So that means that you got, God, 20 feet? I mean, you know, or more? I mean, it's enormous, and I'm sure everything's leather, and it's all kind of, so you're not suffering. So you're doing this with whom?
The goal is to not suffer. The goal is to not suffer. That's always the goal.
Yeah, no, Matt, I expect nothing less. I didn't think you were going to be slumming it. Okay, so who are you going with?
Well, I mean, I have custody with my children every other week, so that's why the whole week on, week off plan is. And so, obviously, it'd be my girlfriend and I alone with our dog some weeks, and then with the kids on other weeks. So we could fit the whole family in there. We did it over the summer in a smaller RV actually, and it was tight, but we made it work in a smaller one.
No, so I'm looking forward to this. We'll share what you know we want to do here, get the audience to help us. Go into the Telegram, declare your independence, Ernest Hancock Telegram. Tell us the festivals, all the things we should be checking out. Okay, yeah, that'll get them going. There are a bunch. I need to do this myself anyway. I get inundated with all these, you know, go here, go there. And if you've gone to some of these, you know which ones are really, I mean, they're all hype and, you know, it's great and wonderful. Look at my artwork. But oftentimes they're not, you know, what they're promoted to be. But we can make sure that you got something. I think if you're willing to present or speak or just hang out, I mean, you'll be a rock star regardless anyway. But, yeah, that'd be more incentive for you to go and people get to know who you are and you'd learn something.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fun. I mean, I'm interested in expanding the possibilities, expanding what I think is possible even, you know, and that just means I got to be in motion in order to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I'm so isolated.
Well, my thing is that, you know, a lot of it, they, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I want to do what I want to do. I want to go there and find the right people because I have the studio. You know, I just said, yeah, you know who I want to talk to? You. Sit down, let's do it, and we'll do a long form if I get the whatever. And when you go in, you got to be a speaker. It's there's more expected of you. You know, you got to be someplace doing. I don't mind speaking. I just don't want to be. Because when we go to these festivals before, we always brought the Money Dome, or we, you know, bring a Monolith, or we got the Megalith, you know, these big vending machines that we got. You know, there's always responsibilities, and we're making a big site of it, and, you know, about the food thing, or we're dealing. I mean, it's just a big footprint, and that's kind of what we wanted. We put up the big banners, and we got a presence of, ooh, I'd rather, you know, and Donna was not, you know, really into that. It was work. You know, it was a lot of work, and I'm just going, you know, I'd read the best part of the whole thing was sitting around the campfire with guys, you know, and just chilling and yep. Just enjoying it.
Exactly.
So I think it, you want to. And so when I say speaking, it's just, all right, well, on, you know, the Friday night at 7 o'clock for 45 minutes, you get to go yak and you go, OK, cool, I'll do that. And then I'm done, you know, but being part of or bringing or, you know, putting on a show, I'm just like, yeah, man, I want to take a break for this year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Definitely. I mean, you don't need more than the three jobs you already have.
Right. I got, you know, it's just, you know, we got a new platform and a new this and a new that. I'm like, oh, okay. The Donna Just button. Donna, just do this. Add this to your list. And she's, yeah, I think I'll decline. So but this is the time that we've been, as activists for 30 years, Donna and I have been doing this since late 80s. Man, it was all in preparation for right now. And we had, you know, a nice home and, you know, got all settled. And I was getting nervous. I was like, we got to get small. This is an anchor, man. Now we need to get, you know, lean on this and, you know, open up our options and whatever. And when this opportunity came up and Peter and Tony Marie were, you know, kind of doing it, we want you to do for the vaccine education against the mandatory shots and everything, what you did for the Lovolution. And I knew exactly what we were needing to do. And we had already been thinking about it for a couple of months and planned on doing this kind of thing anyway. And boom, it just serendipity, man. It came together. And it's still a challenge on a bunch of stuff. But we've learned a lot. I mean, it's kind of confirmed. I guess I got a bias, but it kind of confirmed what we already knew. And this is what we'll talk about when we come back, what you're expecting and want to learn. All right, here we come.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Matt Smith. What we're going to be talking about is we got, you know, he's got a Freightliner Thor, oh my God, triple pop out diesel, I, you know, run you over kind of, you know, rock star RV. And this thing is, I've seen them at the campgrounds. They are pimp. And it's got like none miles on it, you know, just enough to make sure it works. And you've already used this one before. How long ago did you get it?
No, I just got this one this week. I've only ever rented them before. So our first like attempt trip this week is going to be next week. We're just going to go to Utah just to try it out, make sure everything's functioning right.
Well, what is the thing that, I mean, you've kind of played with this before, so the only thing you really, you know, I can add to your knowledge base is really just where to go, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'm looking for with it is, earlier you said, you know, people who were, you know, kind of living that life, you know, in this RV life, whatever, we're like, move for the weather, because for energy reasons, you know, to save on the costs and things like that, and be in a, you know, comfortable climate. I think that's definitely true. And I think it's been a big motivation for a lot of people. But I think for a lot of people who are thinking about this very seriously now, they're actually doing it for entirely different reasons. And they're looking, it's still energy, though, but it's not about climate. It's about people, being around actual human beings who actually think, who are actually interested in living their life and not trying to just run away and bury themselves into a deep, dark hole and hope things pass. I mean, so I'm into it for the energy. I mean, and specifically, I'm into it because I want to be around actual human beings.
Well, you know where they go?
The opportunity to find them.
I'll tell you where they go, Matt. They go where it's comfortable. That's where they go. You know, it's like the Renaissance. You know, you have all of a sudden you had the Dark Ages and everything. Well, it kind of coincided with the climate. When it started to warm up and all of a sudden food became plentiful and everything, then you get your Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo, if I got, you know, plenty of food and wealth is abundant and I'm out painting or something, you know. And this is due to the fact that you had the time was devoted to actual imagination and creativity and production and so on. You're not worried about, you know, how much you're feeding your fire. I mean, you know, this is, I mean, it has an impact. So that's why Arizona is, you know, such a treat for a lot of people. And here in Arizona in the summer, when we do Jackalope Freedom Festival, which is definitely one you should check out because it's totally unorganized. We just go. It's like, you know, me and hundreds of my closest friends in the woods of what are you going to do about it. And you go up the in the mountains, northeastern Arizona, it's 78 degrees in the daytime. Well, it's 120 in the valley. That doesn't suck. So Arizona is like, you know, you can winter down in the valley, it's 85 a couple days ago or something. It's freaking ridiculous. And then you go up in the mountains in the summer and it's about the same. So this is, and then who you got around you. You know, a lot of people of like mind want to do the same damn thing. So if you can find the places that they go, there's throughout March and April, there's a lot. And then it just builds up and ramps up, and it starts going more north until you get into the summer, you're at Porkfest. Now, Porkfest also has the week after, it's called Forkfest. And it was Somalia Fest and Pirate Fest and whatever. It's just, you know, it's not organized. It's just you rent your spot, you stay the extra week, and you're just there. And a lot of people are starting to just go to that because Porkfest is getting a little too 501c, hooked up with the Coctopus a little too much or something, you know. So it's you get too structured, but they're coming back because of the competition. Now it seems in this last year it was like the old Porkfest, and then now it becomes a couple of week thing. So I'm going, cool. And Rogers Campground's like, give me the money. It's all good. So Crosby up there is digging it. Every year I go up there, we go golfing and hang out, and I find out what clipboards came and try to explain it to him again. And it's interesting to see what's going on with all this mask and regulation and stuff. Different states are different. Vermont is freaking Naziville, man. I mean, they are amazing. But I don't know how different states are going when you start having them kind of the people kind of breaking free here in Arizona as we're, you know, being butt heads with signs and so on. But the government, you know, you might have to go to Texas or Florida. Well, then there's things we're going to be making our way down to Key West, just to say we did, because we went Maine and Washington State and down here, and then we go to Key West and like San Diego, and then across the middle we kind of cover the whole country and a lot of things I want to do, like going to Boca Chica and see a starship launch because I can. And like you're saying, you want to go to a comedy club or freaking go to a restaurant without having to give a DNA sample and wearing a hoodie. I'm just going, I'm with you, brother. So, but if you only have a week, how far do you think you can get away from Colorado?
Well, I mean, the baseline is a week, but obviously, you know, during the summer, I took the kids on the last RV we had. We went for a little over 3 weeks, and we covered a lot of ground in that time period. So, we're flexible. I mean, especially once my daughter is in, she goes to a private school still. My son is homeschooled, which gives us lots of flexibility with him. But, you know, when her school is out, we have many, many more opportunities. But we can get pretty far in a week. We can get pretty far in a week.
Yeah, maybe you can. You know, see, the thing is I get up in the morning. We do the show early. By the time I get done editing and everything, you know, it's like noon, you know, and you don't want to be setting up or pulling in some play or something usually at night. So it's I get maybe, you know, 3 hours, 5 hours I'm really pushing. I mean, a lot of times I do, of course, this late night. I go all night, kind of got to get there thing, which I really haven't got into a groove yet. It's always we got to be somewhere to do something all the time. And I'm just really hoping that we get to where it'd be more like what you're doing. We just, you know, we'll get there when we get there, take a day or two, and then we'll be chilling and stuff in a nice place of doing it. But I'm telling you, weather. It is, if you're way too cold to even go outside, too hot to even go outside, you can't do anything. I understand you want to be around people of like mind and go to these festivals and hang out, and you'll enjoy it, I'm sure. But it is weather. I can see when you are, because your living room is actually living. I mean, it's outside. You're doing, you got a canopy in the shade, and you set up a nice comfortable chair. Man, I'm where I want to be, and I got the sight I want to see, but I don't want to be. And colder is not as bad as too hot, you know. I mean, you can, and then fans and everything. I'm telling you, it's just, and the energy thing has really changed. What's your energy usage there? How what's your battery capacity and engines and generator? How are you doing on that with your rig?
I can't tell you what the specs are off the top of my head. I don't recall. I know that they're supposedly more than adequate, more than I would need, but
yeah, we'll find you're going to find out.
That's what the trial run next week with this.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying, we got kind of like a second delay, so it makes it hard for us to, you know, converse, but yeah, energy is going to be a thing. But how about your communication? What are you going to be doing to continue your show? Are you going to be doing something daily, you know, intermittently? What?
Yeah, I mean, communication is one of the hardest things, because the better places are places where you don't have a cell phone signal, and, you know, you get internet beyond, outside of cell signal is tough. You know, you're looking at, there are some satellite options, but they're not very good, and they're very expensive.
Yeah, no, I tell you, we'll talk about communication. This is going to be right next to electricity, which we kind of got covered, but, and yeah, I'm sure you got it because you got enough to hell just start the engine, man. I mean, you're fine. But the it's going to be internet. And I tell you, I got experience. We will share when we come back how we're going to do this communication thing. We'll be right back. This has been, of all the research and people and talking to and everything, what they do is it is they pull in the best signal. It's, you know, whatever they're doing, they got pull in Verizon, AT&T, you know, whatever the hell. Tele, who cares? But it has the best results, the best reviews, the best. So I'm going, okay, we'll get that, and it's a pretty low price. Because what we have now is we're using, and I'll, you know, summarize this when we come back, but we have AT&T on a Netgear with two SIM cards, you know, that, you know, because you got only 30 gigs. What I do, I just whiz through data. So I, you know, it's, you know, you're uploading videos and so on, it's a pain in the ass. And we have a Verizon hotspot, and then it goes into a router that, you know, feeds the bus. So we log in to the Love Bus. And however it feeds internet, it goes into there. Now, we also have a Raspberry Pi that manages the Wi-Fi. So what we can do is we just go, okay, we Wi-Fi to the hotspot on our phone if we got a 5G or a good signal there. We Wi-Fi into, I don't know, wherever you're at, or Starbucks or the campground or something. And it goes in. So we're really broadcasting on the Love Bus, you know, internet that we're connected to. And through that router, we have Ethernets that go around to all the equipment. So all the computers and everything are an Ethernet into that router. It's just how do you get internet into it? So it's cell phone with Verizon or AT&T, or we have Ethernet that comes in if they got it from wherever we're staying, or we do a Raspberry Pi Wi-Fi. So It is, we've done everything we can. We got a cell booster on the roof. We did it. And I'm telling you, it sucks. It is the biggest pain in the ass of everything, especially when you're doing video. So, like, streaming and everything, it's rare, especially out here in the desert. You know, I'm lucky I got as good as I got now. So what happened is the Nomad thing is for exactly what you're doing. And that's what people, but what's really going to be the crap is Starlink. And that is, man, yeah, that's going to kick some ass. So if you're looking at that, and that's being developed. All right, we'll talk about that real quick when we come back. Just pull up nomadinternet.com. That'll be probably what you're going to need. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Matt Smith. The one thing, you know, after you get to the power that you can turn things on, and he doesn't have that problem, and big Freightliner Thor of, oh, my God. You know, Nomad Internet is the next upgrade that we're doing. We're working on that now. And I've been doing a lot of research, talking to a lot of people, and they go, oh, my goodness, watch this. Now, you go to Nomad Internet, you go to watch videos and so on YouTube, and you kind of get an idea of what you're dealing with. But what we've done, Matt, is we have a Netgear AT&T SIM card router thing that we're doing, and they suck. You know, I mean, even if you get a good signal, it bleeds data. I mean, just by turning it on, they're all of a sudden your 30 gigs just gone from, well, do you have any of your devices on? So, well, we're sucking data from you, boy. Didn't you know you and Big Bubba's taking all your data? I'm like, really? Thank you. You know, I vote not that. So we unplug it all the time. And then we have Verizon. And it's a 5G fry your brain, really going to whatever, and it still sucks. So I get more on my freaking 4G phone as a hotspot that we use our Raspberry Pi to manage Wi-Fis and so on, and then, of course, just plug into Ethernet. Now, the whole bus is wired with Ethernet cords that go directly in our devices and computer in the show and everything, but it also has a Wi-Fi that we can do, too. So what we're doing is we're powering the Internet into the router, and then it disperses through the bus in various different ways, like at your home. So I'm going, okay, so we got it going on. We got a cell booster on the roof. We got it. But I'm telling you, when you're RVing, and like you say, the best places don't have it. So Nomad might be an upgrade, but what we're really looking for, and some of our friends up in Washington have already got it, and Derek Slope, your IT guy in Maine, has got it, and it's like, you know, 100 megabyte up, down, and they're going, now they're going to have the capability to increase it to 10 gig a second. I'm like, ooh, I vote that. So the man is definitely don't want, you know, Elon Musk be able to just get a smooth ride on that one. So, but it's in the northern states, the southern Canada and northern United States. They've already turned it on beta, and they call it better than nothing internet. And it still kicks the crap out of everything. So that is what we've been advocating in the future. What's going to happen is that only half the planet even has, you know, get on the internet. When the entire planet has high-speed 10 gig a second, oh, my God, high-speed internet, it's going to be doing some, you know, what the rural guy has to say on his YouTube channel of his own channel of I can say what I want from the road. And I see this communication of the people decentralizing down to individuals in their RVs everywhere is going to change the planet, and it makes it easier for you to do what you're doing. So this is what we've been documenting and what's coming. So probably first thing for what you're doing, Nomad Internet, I would check that out and get ready for some Starlink. Boom. I just saved you months of work.
I'm on the beta list for Starlink. I have been for a while now, and my number hasn't been called yet.
Well, it's because the latitude. If you're up in like North Dakota, boom, we got you for you. South Dakota, you may have to wait, you know, a couple of months. That's why every time they keep launching these satellites, it gets more and more dense. I think the reason they chose that latitude was kind of a New York City, London thing. You know, it's for communication with financial services and stuff where they're going to make their money. And it's starting to get down. They just launched some polar orbit ones. You know, I didn't even know they were going to do polar. But so this is, it's coming, man. It's fast. It might get, you get used to this, you might like the freedom and just be, you know, where would you, I mean, you got enough, you know, resources. I mean, you're not poor. You know, you could have a house, or hell, you do. I mean, you know, so I'm like, you know, where would you call base? Where's some of the others around the world? What places do you like?
Well, honestly, I think that the security state that we're experiencing in the U.S. is actually, it's even more so in a lot of places around the world. So, you know, I talked about Doug Casey, for instance. You know, he has a place in Argentina and he has a place in Uruguay. And, you know, you cannot, unless you're a citizen of those countries, enter those countries and haven't been able to essentially for the last 9 months. So, places we would normally by default think would be better, like Argentina or Chile, they have all kinds of other problems. We went to Colombia around Christmas this year or last year, just because we wanted to get out. You know, I internationally traveled so much and I missed it, frankly. And so we went there, and this is a Catholic country, which, you know, the Christmas holiday is incredibly important. Going to a Christmas mass is as sacrosanct to the culture as anything is. And yet they had a full lockdown where you weren't allowed to leave your home from 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve until 6 a.m. on December 26th. And they just accepted it.
And so wait. They shut down Christmas?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't just like the night. It was from Christmas Eve to the day after Christmas. You're not allowed to go out on Christmas. They specifically said that.
Correct.
What?
Not allowed to leave your home. Yes, I was there. I was present. We were stuck in this little boutique hotel, which was delightful. And, you know, it could have been way, you know, it was fine for us. We had a very nice time. But yeah, and they accepted it. They accepted it. And in fact, on the 26th, I'm, you know, hanging out with a bunch of expats there. And they're like, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, we had tight restrictions, you know, early in the pandemic. But like now it's pretty relaxed. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? This place was locked down yesterday. I mean, yesterday on Christmas. So I just think this is happening everywhere. And I don't think travel will ever be the same as it was. Will it ever be as free? And I mean, where we can freely pass across borders, or as inexpensive as it was in 2019.
Okay, let me share this thought with you and see what you think. The world, as I got older, from what I remember when it started to get, you know, like Southwest Airlines out of Arizona, and it's $49 to go to, you know, San Diego and, you know, and one way kind of thing. And all of a sudden, the world just seemed to get smaller. You could travel anywhere, and if you had the money, you know, get a couch. I mean, you know, or hell, you know, we have friends, and a lot of people, their own plane. I mean, they jet around kind of enjoying the world small. Well, I want to go to Hong Kong, I go to Hong Kong. I want to go to, you know, Fiji, I go to Fiji. I mean, the world got small. Then all of a sudden, boom, shut down. Now the world is like, oh, them foreigners out over somewhere, and I got to watch a National Geographic special to see what the hell's going on. And then you get BS'd anyway. So it seemed to me that they were afraid of us being able to directly do business and converse, hell, marry, you know, Russian women and, you know, the Chinese are starting to get Americanized. It doesn't serve their purpose to have us freely move around. It was more for them to control you. They have to get you in your zoo cage or something. What do you feel about that?
I definitely think that's true. I mean, this is an attack on the plebs, of which you and I are both members. And, you know, and basically everyone we know is a member of the pleb crew, and the bottom line is the ridiculous freedoms that we had of movement are gone, and I think that that's going to get tighter and tighter here in the U.S. as well as internationally. I mean, even just, you know, little things like leaving the country now, it's hard. Like, you want to go to Europe? Good luck. You know, I've been maintaining a list of the border changes for every country. I have my sister do this for me every week, as they change every week. And, you know, they've only increased since December.
Do you have that for you just yourself, or is that on a site somewhere that people can access that research?
You know, I'll send you a link. It's a Google Sheet that she puts together for me. So it's just, I haven't published it anywhere, but the Google Sheet, I can make it publicly visible. So I'll send it to you.
Put it on as a link, you know, on you. Don't let me be the source of whatever. I mean, you can send it to me. I'll pimp the crap out of it, but you know, yeah, you send that to me. Hell, keep it on a site that you're regularly updating if you are, and I'll just pimp to that. Because, crap, that's good information.
Yeah. She updates it. She updates it every week, and it's crazy. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And I think that everyone kind of feels like the restrictions are going to ease. I don't think they are. I think people are totally underestimating what's coming, honestly. So I think expanding your ability to move and travel, like by having an RV or something like that, really can change. It gives you an optionality that might be really important.
Yeah, until they start, because if it's getting worse, we need you to pull over to secondary and inspect your freaking, what kind of toilet paper you're using or something. I mean, I go, you know what? I'll pull over secondary, lock the door, and we're camping. Woohoo! And broadcasting and whatever. You know, again, you want to come in for an interview?
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratewithoutborders.com.
Yep, pirates. Have you ever checked out piratewithoutborders.com?
I did like 6 months ago, but I haven't. I haven't looked at it recently.
Yeah, we'll check it out again. You know, it's got everything that we wanted up there. It's cool, you know, but we need to reformat it, make it easier to navigate and more obvious of whatever the hell. But the letters are doing well, and the big thing is the tech, because if you go to the top of the page and it has communication, energy, shelter, food, water, that kind of thing. It's all the stories and technology that empowers the individual, or what we should know and how we could be more decentralized. Of all the stories that we publish on Freedom's Phoenix, I take the best ones that are more supporting the individual, and it goes on to pirates in those categories. So when somebody, you know, like these kinds of conversations where people call, oh, what do I do about this? And how do I go? Go to the energy category. I'm pirates, man. Boom, done. Now, you want to know? There it is. You know, just go through all that. And it's really starting to take off in the last, since Christmas, I think, you know, or certainly since the election. And it's just, whoa, this is what I go, yeah. You know, what do you think I've been doing this for years for? It's because I knew this was coming. You know, you know, how could you not know? This is one thing, whenever I do all my activism stuff or the sign thing or the, you know, anti-force notions and potions and a hypodermic from the crown kind of crap, and they go, how did you know? I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What the hell were you looking at? I mean, what were you waiting for? You know, I don't understand what you think was coming. And when I say it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. Well, nobody... What are you talking? Gobbledygook, are you doing? I'm going, look, it won't happen all at once. I mean, you'll see little things on the horizon. You'll see all this legislation, all this infrastructure, all this, these slogans, all this. You'll see it, and then all of a sudden it's Monday, and boom, here we are. I go, yep. Well, they put it all together, and you know, where's your mask? I mean, so the traveling, even in the RV thing, I think a lot of people will go to that. And you're going to have the Gestapo is going to be at the border with different states. And hopefully
I agree.
There's going to be, like, you know, I don't know, somebody will say no, you know, like, you know, Texas, Florida, something. But the lockdown is coming. And this is just, they wanted to see how compliant you would be and you'd stay at home on Christmas. That's what was going on. And I'm going, now it's, here we go. And we did a list of March 1933 Germany, and it went, you know, they had troops that took over after a false flag thing. Then they gave power to this. Then they got the minister of propaganda crap. Then we're following that list. And I'm like, man, here she comes. All right, we'll talk about that. Here we go.
Content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Matt Smith. You know, this is going to be exciting. We'll stay in touch on the road. We'll probably see each other at different festivals and so on, get you on the couch here, and we'll have a conversation, because I'm really interested in your perception from your experience of being around the world. Is there anywhere in the world that you haven't gone and spent some time?
I mean, there's lots of... I've been to most regions of the world, certainly. But of course, and I've been to China, for instance, but like China's huge, and I've had a sampling of what China has to offer as a country. I've never been to Russia at all. Like, that's another one. This huge swath of land with lots of different, variations in culture. I've never been. But I've been all over Europe and several places in Africa, but again, lots of Africa I haven't seen. All over South America. Probably spent more time in South America and Europe than anywhere else.
You know, what country was it that locked down Christmas you were in?
Colombia.
Damn. This is, and I think that was a test. And when they, the mosque can stay open, or you can, peacefully protest with Molotov cocktails in Portland, but you can't open the church. I mean, it's been so stupid that I'm wondering where the resistance is, or we just been so... social media. I can tell the people that are all, I'm so scared and wear your mask and kind of, I'm first in line for the shot. To the degree that they're like that is to the degree they spend on Facebook. You can tell.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that all these little weird rules are all, it's all just an exercise in psychological compliance building. Yeah. So if you get someone to follow one silly rule, it's easy to get them to follow other silly rules, and you can expand it dramatically from there. And we're all, as humans, we're all at risk of falling for these sort of compliance tests. And so you always have to be on guard for it. You always have to be on guard. But we failed. And I think, I think that the Trump situation probably really hurt with people's willingness to fight back, because they thought, hey, I have a guy who seems like he's on my side, who's in charge, and so... I don't have to worry about, I don't have to watch my flank, essentially.
Exactly.
But it was just totally misguided. One of the best things about him going away is it's like, sorry, people, no one's coming to save you. Wake up.
Yeah, Q ain't going to do it for you.
Exactly.
We did the Trump Report for 5 years every week with Dr. Frank Tamburi, a good friend that was, he's all pro-Trump. And my thing was like, you're still voting. I mean, so he and I had, hours of arguments every Thursday. And so this last one, we got to go, man, it's got to be, we'll call it the tyranny report. You want to keep doing this, it's not going to be a Trump thing. And my big conclusion, the whole thing, I'm going, look, I am more, when he first got elected, I go, let me tell you what my fear is. Everybody keeps thinking somebody else is going to do it for them. And they're just, stand down, stand by kind of crap. And then if you want to get all active and, I'm going to follow what QAnon says and so on. And, man, this is, I don't know, they're good guys, bad guys, but it is definitely a psyop. You guys are being lulled into, complacency. And, in fact, there was after the revolution in Russia, and the Bolsheviks did, whatever, they had the same exact kind of mind control thing. It was the same template that they followed. And it was just, the czar's coming. Stand by, it's too late. So I can see this happening over and over, because libertarians or anarchists, voluntarists, freaking leave me aloneist, look at history. We can see, there's a pattern. So they, them, those, it's not like, if it worked before, they'll do it again. Well, they're doing it again in a large scale, and it's going to be surveillance and force, and you gotta. So the one thing is, you're not going to be able to nothing without you getting your shot. That comes with another shot and a booster shot of annual, of every week of something, we got a shot. You big shot taker, are you, Matt?
I am not. I'm not. And I think people look at this stuff and they think of it as being hyperbolic a little bit. But I think people, if you haven't already, you should do a little reading on the Cultural Revolution in China and a little reading of the Gulag Archipelago, with what happened with the Bolsheviks. So the Bolsheviks, when they took over, they didn't just go after, they immediately started going after any opposing political party, anybody who had an affiliation with that political party, including the socialists, by the way. Like they, everybody got killed eventually. They went after everybody.
Yeah.
So I think the harshness of that, it's difficult for us who have grown up in a situation, at least for me, who've grown up in America where life is, you know, while it's sometimes challenging, is you've never had these true existential risks to your liberty and livelihood, not the ones that exist now. And if you look a little bit of history, and this is not long ago history, a little bit of history, you can see how quickly things got turned super upside down and lives were destroyed. So I really encourage people just to do a little reading about it. They would be shocked.
There was a video, I'm going to see if I can find it here. I'll put it on today's archive, second hour with us, that was done by Paul Joseph Watson, you know, the guy over on InfoWars and so on. And it was about the Cultural Revolution in China and what they did. It was all this shaming thing, and you wear a dunce cap, and you know, these poor guys taking the rich guy and you're beating them in the street and doing all. It was exactly what's going on now with the same goal and the same technique and the same. It was scary as hell. And I saw that. I'm gonna put that. I'll find it here, and we'll put it in the archive for everybody. But it was, I saw that.
I have to say, it expands. What I knew about, I heard about that. But what my girlfriend's aunt grew up as Chinese. She grew up and during the Cultural Revolution. She was 7 years old. She tells when I last saw her, she's in Arizona. So I was last to visit them. She told me the story about how she saw her mother, who was the principal of the school, being dragged out by the kids in the school and then dragged onto this concrete picnic table and beaten in front of her and made to, you know, wear one of those signs that, you know, had all her, you know, admitted to sins, you know, listed on it. And, you know, and they the president of that school, they beat to death. And
done, this
was done by the 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids in the school.
What country was this?
China. And the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah. No, this is what this thing was about. I'm, you know, I try and make light, you know, and have fun, and the freedom is the answer, what's the question, and we're out and, you know, try and be inspirational, and yes, you can do it, and look, and here it is, and everything. I mean, but I tell you, don't think that I don't see how serious this is. You know, I'm with you, brother, man. It's coming. And what's going to stop it, or what do we have to go through before it swings back? Is it ever going to swing? It always, it's one thing I go, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy first. Well, I don't think they realize how messy.
Right. And I think the more people can be awake and aware of what's happening, maybe the less severe certain parts of it could be. Because if it totally sneaks up on our entire society, then, you know, the wave crashing against the shore is going to be massive and brutal for everybody. But if you can see it coming, maybe you can angle out a little bit. Maybe it won't be as severe for people. Maybe, you know, the overreach might not be as extreme. But there's difficulty coming, and I don't think it's avoidable.
Well, what do you think we should be doing? I mean, you know, you're like, you know, experimenting on the road. Is that part of this?
Well, I think it is part of it. I think so. We're all isolated. We're all so isolated at this point, and it's intentional. And I think it's really so. I'm not sure. The answer to me is not obvious what to do in this situation for myself beyond expand my optionality, like create more choices for myself, more flexibility. So that seems clear. But beyond that, honestly, I just feel like I need to get in motion to create more opportunity for myself and for the people around me. And so, you know, the hope is that by hitting the road, by spending time around people of like minds, people who are actually humans and present and awake, that there will be things that will pop up. There will be things that I can't currently imagine. There will be opportunities that I cannot currently imagine that will emerge. That's always happened if you're willing to get out of your comfort zone enough to see. And I think that right now, that exploration of possibilities is the best that I personally think I can do to try and you know, address what's coming.
Well, what do you know? Your son Maxim is kind of, you know, going down this road of getting understanding what's up. You comfortable with where he's at and his mindset?
I mean, you know, as a father, you always worry about your kids. You're like, you know, you always worry. So he's such a smart and wise kid. I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of where he's going, but I also realize it's a risky time for him, especially he thinks he can say things freely today. Right. But you really can't. And it's dangerous.
It is way more dangerous than, you know, I've been able to get away. Everybody's like, you know, how do you get to do this stuff? What the hell? How come you ain't dead yet? I mean, all the stuff we've been, you know, a lot of stuff. And it's because I never went after individuals. I mean, you know, occasionally they need a little slapping around, but it was always concepts. And the central command, when you go after an individual, they're going to come get you. But if the concept, it's just dirty, you don't care what he says, but that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a philosophy that wins. And people, more of them that understand it, Matt Smith, big help on that. More as time gets together.
The message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace.
All right, there we go. Thank you. I really want to find this. Give me a second here, because I really want you to have it. I can probably send it to you later, but it was very impactful on me, and it was, I don't know, 10-minute thing or something. It was just showing, you know, whatever. Let me see. But, you know, it was a YouTube video, so, you know, that's done.
I audio recorded I interviewed my girlfriend's aunt, and so I have it all on audio, and her just explaining these different things that she saw and experienced is shocking, because the truth is there's actually not much written material about the Cultural Revolution. I mean, a lot of it got purged in the process, and so it's hard to get, you know, firsthand accounts of things.
Well, do you have that link you can send to me? I'll put it up. Hell yeah.
I haven't published it. I just listened to it. I just recorded it for my girlfriend's sake, because she wasn't in the room, actually. So, but I'll ask her, and if she's cool with it, I'll share it with you.
Yeah. Share it with the. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, come on, man. You know?
It's important information. You know, and it's hard for her to talk about. To be honest, they're, you know, seeing her mom as a 7-year-old girl, seeing her mom be dragged through the street by, you know, some teenage students and beaten. I mean. And her mom was just looking at her and was terrified they were going to turn on her.
So the students were beating the teacher because she was a teacher or made him do homework or something? What?
Mao came out and said, the teachers don't know anything. Why do they think they're so smart? Why do they think they have all the answers? Like Mao fomented this, you know, this attitude against all of the educated people, including the teachers and the students. You'll get, I mean, Mao's Red Guard was a bunch of kids running around, you know, it was a bunch of kids. It was not the state doing this. The state eventually had to suppress Mao's Red Guard, you know, because they just got so out of hand. But it wasn't the difference between like the Soviet Union and China is that one was just the people that were encouraged to do this to each other. And the Soviet Union was the state fundamentally driving it all.
Yeah, this is one thing I was saying with all this Antifa stuff going on and Black Lives Matter and all that crap. And I'm saying, I go, look, man, I'm telling you, these are the guys that the brown shirts, the, you know, Stalin supporting, going out doing. They're the first ones to get arrested and excommunicated. And, you know, that's because they get out of hand. And then the kind of the deal with the people, these are the two rats, we're going to go after them. Now we got Black Lives Matter going, we need a cabinet position of racial equality or something. I mean, you know, then they don't get what they're bitching at Biden, and eventually they got to go away. You know, they get you there, and then you got to get rid of them because they got a little bit too, you know, too uppity, you know. So we're going to, you know, they think they can just take on the man. Well, you can't take on the, so I'm, this is, it's like a template that's being followed, and it's almost like an AI or somebody that got a playbook or the secret handbook of the Illuminati pyramid of let's do this now, you know. And I'm going, holy crap. And the only thing that really gives me any hope is that we have maintained some communication and that we can archive all. That's why we did the IPFS, Interplanetary File System. Everything that we have, like we started with Freedom's Phoenix, Pirates, and James Corbett. All of Corbett's stuff is on the forever internet of Suckit. And everything that we've been doing, like right now we're doing Pirates Without Borders, the letter of reprisal, the fourth letter is called Scuttlebutt. And it's we have the second letter is on crypto. You might have heard one of the commercials. And then the third letter is Hailing Frequencies Invisible to the Crown, Pirate Communication. And then the fourth of reprisal is Scuttlebutt, which is reputation score. And the reason that we did that is not like a, you know, your citizen score crap, but it's a like a Yelp or an eBay reputation that's done by the community on everybody, and eventually it kind of balances out, and you get to, you know, put that the reputation of the person giving the reputation. So if it's some scumbag doing it, then theirs don't count and don't matter. But what it is to out the sociopaths. Because in the movement, there's always that guy. You know, there's always something or somebody either by intent or they're just that way, screw up everything. There's always a guy. You know, regardless of what you do, there's always that one guy or gal that doesn't have the empathy. And this kind of outs that and who you want to associate with. Like when you go on the road with what you're doing, yeah, you know, I download that app and get the scuttlebutt on who's what. And I think we're working on that with some, well, matter of fact, the lead coder's on it, a couple of guys from Moscow. And we have some other guys doing it. And then, you know, the blockchain stored on IPFS. I mean, you know, it's all this geek stuff being used towards what, you know, I think the only thing we got in our favor. You know, some geeks out there creating crypto, you know. So I'll keep you informed on this. Hopefully we'll be able to hook up, you know, on the road various different things that are cool. You know, I'll work on the...
I'll find you.
I'm sorry?
I'll find you.
Yeah. It's not like I blend. But the I'm going to go ahead and get that list ready for both of us and for the community, because a lot of people sending me stuff and everything. Some of them conflict in time, but we can just make a big list of, you know, where the man needs to go to find all the anarchist freedom guys and infiltrate, which is why we need the scuttlebutt. You see my point?
Yep, yep. I totally agree.
So we're on it. Good. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks, Max. Ernie.
Yeah, Donna will contact Maxim and, you know, get him on too. We can get an update on what he's doing. That'd be fun.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ernie. Take care, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.